Good morning, everybody. All right, that was good. Y'all must be awake this morning. Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jessica. I'm usually up with our kids next door on Sunday mornings or over with our kids in the annex at the other campus. So it's a blessing to be up here today to share the message that God has laid on my heart. And obviously, I'm not Dorsey. He had to go be a part of the annual conference down on Jekyll Island. So he's preparing for the next year in the United Methodist Church right now. So that's where he's at. But I'm just going to begin with a prayer to kind of calm my nerves after the week that I've had. So if you would just pray silently with me. Lord, we would like to thank you for this morning. And I pray that it would be you speaking and not me, Lord. If anything that I have to say that is not what they need to hear, I pray that it would just fall away. May you be the one that shines, Lord, not me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so I'd like to share a little bit about kind of what I have learned through service opportunities, big, small, whatever, and kind of what Jesus has to say a little bit about that. Begin by telling you about when I was a student at Georgia Southern, I got involved with the Wesley Foundation, where we're at right now. And as part of my post-college career, I was a missionary intern with them, and one of my roles was international student ministry. And as part of that ministry, we did shopping trips with the students because a lot of the international students don't have a vehicle. And that was a ministry that Miss Becky Falk, if any of y'all have met her, she usually attends this service, started, and when she had too many kids to fit in her car, she started partnering with the Wesley Foundation, and we started using a 15-passenger van to haul as many students as was legally allowed in a 15-passenger van to Walmart once a week for them to buy groceries and then taking them home. And as part of the International Student Ministry, we did a weekly lunch with them and provided an opportunity for international and American students to just interact with each other, talk, because a lot of our international students will tell you that sometimes American students just ignore them. And to me, that's really, really sad. So I believe we have a couple pictures of some of it, but we would do a lunch, and then we did a trip to Savannah one time, and getting to see these students see Savannah for the first time. That's the big picture right there of all of us sitting on the steps of one of the churches. It's just really incredible. Just little simple things, providing food for them, helping them go to Walmart so they can get food because they don't have a car, and you can't walk around Statesboro and carry groceries, sadly, because, you know, a lot of them live over there on campus, and Walmart is, the neighborhood Walmart did not exist at that time. But just, I mean, that was something that we could do, that we had the resources to do. And it made me feel so, so incredible to be a part of that opportunity and to help these students and to see the friendships that form between other students and to see the friendships that I was able to form with some of them that were here for 4 years or more. And I'd like to share with you about some times that a couple people had served me. And as I was trying to think about it, I thought back to high school, which, if y'all believe me or not, was over a decade ago for me. And it was either at our, I had just transferred into a new school for eighth grade, and we were at an open house, or it was either the first couple of days of school. One of the girls in my class came up to me, handed me a handwritten letter, none of this texting stuff, handwritten letter, welcoming me to the class, saying how glad she was that I was a part of her class, how glad she was to get to know me. And that meant so, so much. And then there was another time that I don't remember what, I feel like I might have been struggling with something at the time, but I noticed that somebody was leaving notes in my locker and wasn't signing them, wasn't saying what they were, but seeing, hey, God loves you. Have a great day. You're a daughter of him. Live for him. Just reminding me who I was and that how blessed they were that I was a part of their lives. Over a decade later, I still don't know who this is, but I took these pictures this week. I found these in a journal that I've got. They meant that much to me. Yeah, like that's simple things. You never know what could mean so much to somebody. And for those of you that maybe think, oh, well, I feel like the Lord's leading me to do something big, there's opportunities like that too. When I worked with the Wesley Foundation, I had the opportunity to go on 3 international mission trips. And I've also had the opportunity to go up to Sandersville, Georgia, if any of y'all know where that is, and help at a mission camp there for a couple of years, and help rebuild houses and just all kinds of stuff. I've been able to go there both as a high schooler, camper, and a leader, been able to speak at those camps and just be a part of what's going on over there. And the people that they renovate the houses for are people that probably wouldn't be able to get this work done otherwise because they don't have all this money to renovate these houses, but the conditions that they're living in is just heartbreaking sometimes. But, you don't have to do something big like that. It can be something small. But I just want you to think about something that you've done like that for somebody, big or small, maybe that they weren't expecting. Maybe you gave somebody a ride that can't get here. Maybe you wrote somebody a note and they told you how much it meant to them. Maybe you wrote somebody a note and you didn't tell them who you were, but you saw them when they opened it. Or, it doesn't have to be. It could really be anything that you do. But just how did that make you feel to do that for that person? And then think about when somebody's done something like that for you and how that made you feel. And you'll understand where I'm coming from when I tell you how I felt about just that person putting those notes in my locker, or that classmate handing me that note that I think I still have that one somewhere. Just how much that means to people and how much it means to you when somebody does it for you. All right, in our scriptures today, we're going to look at a story in Matthew 20:28. Context of this story is James and John have come to Jesus, and they say, we want to sit one at your right hand, one at your left, in your glory. Like, we want people to recognize us. We want people to know who we are, And it even talks about in another gospel that it's not necessarily them that comes to him, but their mother that comes to him and says, I want one of my sons to sit at your right and one at your left. And I read that one, and I think, well, okay, Lord, I would be laughing if I was you at that point in time, that their mommy had to come and ask that for them. But in Matthew 20:28, Jesus says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So when they're saying, we want to make much of us, we want to be recognized, Jesus goes on and he tells them, you're missing the point. That's not the point. The point is, I came here to serve. I came here to make the most of God. And that's what you should be doing too. And in John 13, we see what I believe to be one of the greatest examples of this in Jesus' life. He's sitting with his disciples having the Passover meal hours before he's going to be on the cross. If you read really closely, you find out Judas is still with him right now. This is Judas who's going to go to the officials and turn him in for him to be crucified. This is the Judas who betrays Jesus that's with him. And Jesus tells them, I'm going to wash your feet. He notices that, as was customary in that time, they had their feet washed before the meals. Jesus noticed that this didn't occur on this particular night. For whatever reason, the servant who was supposed to do it didn't do it. Maybe the servant was sick that day. Who knows? Jesus just noticed that there something needed to be done, and he does something about it. He goes up and he starts to go around and wash their feet. He comes to Peter, and Peter's like, no, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. And Jesus tells him, well, then you're not a part of me. This is how I'm showing you what I'm about. This is how I'm setting an example for you to do as I have done. And in John 13:13-35, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. So, to me, that's saying, I've done this as an example for you because I want you to do as I have done. I want you to wash the feet of people, whatever that looks like. I know some people have a thing about feet and don't like feet. It doesn't necessarily mean having to wash people's feet, but if you'll notice the cover of your bulletins, kind of changed up a little bit just to protect their identities, of course, but the cover is friends of mine at that mission camp in Sandersville. There was one night I was speaking there, and as I was getting ready for that night, the Lord laid on my heart, and he says, we need to do a feet washing ceremony. So I went to the leaders of the camp, and we found a way to do it with what we had, which was Tupperware containers and, I think, washcloths. We used what we had, and we did a feet washing ceremony, and I remember the freedom that was found in that night. I remember a fellow adult who was in the very back of the room, didn't like public speaking at all. Wonderful guy. He is a cop back home and in Macon area. And I remember him running up from the back of the room, and God had just laid on his heart to say, no more excuses. Like, we should have no excuse for not doing what God has called us to do. And just the power that everybody felt in that moment and the worship that we had after that was so incredible. But that's just what it's about. And in reading this and reading that Judas was there and that Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who in a matter of hours was about to say, this is the man who y'all have been looking for. This is the man y'all want to crucify. Here he is. Have at it. But that didn't change who Jesus was. He's going around and he's washing their feet because it was something that needed to be done. That's just what he was about. So talk a little bit about service versus doing your part. Some people might think, oh, well, I've done my part as a part of this, but I'd like to encourage you that service is going above and beyond what doing your part would be. It's having a mindset, the mentality that your motivation is not, well, hey, Jesus, make the most of me because I'm doing this over here. Meanwhile, he's like, I want you over here, and I want me glorified through this, not you. I want somebody to see Jesus through you because you're humble enough to step aside and let me shine. And, I mean, going above and beyond can be something as simple as giving somebody a ride who can't get one. Because we have people at this church who can't get here unless somebody brings them. Preston knows what I mean. Somebody has to bring him. And we have kids up in Kids Spring who can't get here typically unless somebody brings them. And we have kids that come on Wednesday nights. Jose brings a car full for us. It's incredible, but just having the right mindset, the right motivation. You can write somebody a note. Maybe don't even tell them who you are. Just leave somebody a note. Tell them, I'm glad that you're in my life. I'm glad for this. You never know what that could mean. And whatever it is that's holding you back, whether it's fear of what other people might think, whether it's a fear of maybe not knowing where to start, just I encourage you to just think about what that is that's holding you back. If God's calling you to do some kind of trip necessarily, there can be financial struggles in that because trying to fly halfway across the country is not cheap. But if God's calling you to do something, I pray that you will listen to him and consider what he wants you to do. And honestly, serving people can get messy and awkward. That foot washing ceremony we did at that mission camp was a little messy and a little awkward. We were putting people's feet in Tupperware containers and using washcloths. And, you know, there were the people there that didn't like their feet touched and but pushing through all that and responding to God's call on your heart is so, so important. So what would it look like for you to do that? What would it look like for you to serve the people at work, to serve your friends? What would it look like for you to serve your family this week or the church? What is it that God's calling you to do? I want you to think about that. Think about what it is he's calling you to do. Think about what it is that has stopped you from doing that, and to pray to him about it. What would it look like if we all did that this week? Just think of something that you can do that God's calling you to do. Maybe it's long term, maybe it's short term. Giving people a ride. My grandmother was a wonderful woman. She would write people these incredible letters and bake things for them when they were sick. And just that simple ministry, and to see the impact that that's had, that has outlived her, is so, so incredible. And just, I mean, whatever it is you can do, please do it. You never know what it could do for somebody. So I just want you to think about that this week. Give a ride to somebody. Help somebody with what they're already doing. Maybe you notice somebody is trying to clean up after church or trying to set up tables for something at an event we're at. Maybe they could use some help. And just walk up to them and say, can I help you with that? You never know until you ask somebody. They might be needing help and be afraid to ask. And maybe you could help somebody with something that they can't do for themselves. Maybe somebody isn't able to clean their house as well as they used to be able to, and you feel like that's something you could do for them. Whatever it is. So there's a quote by Tim Tebow. He said, God wants us to be part of awesome things, but we have to say yes to doing something. There's always something you can do, even when you're in the busy season of life. And I know we're in Dogtown, me quoting Tim Tebow's frowned upon, but I believe that he has a great message in his life, and I believe that he has important things to say like that. But just, I want you to consider what you can say yes to this week. What small thing can you do that's doing something instead of doing nothing? And as I close today, I'd like to pray while we consider what it is the Lord might be speaking to us. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your message and your word. We thank you that you have called us to serve big and small. We thank you for the ways that you have done for us and set us the example, Lord. And I pray that you would touch each person's life this morning, Lord, and show them what they can do for you and for those around them, Lord. For it is your name we pray. Amen.